Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, May 7th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
I just wanted to tell you how great you were.
Well, great. Say, I have a new edition of the Erotic Mind series in store for you today. I welcome a visual artist who is a gifted illustrator, painter, and photographer. The man with this Texas-sized talent is David DeLara. On top of listening to the soft-spoken artist speak about his work, you'll be able to have an opportunity to sample his work, too. David has graciously compiled a gallery of some of his art for you to enjoy. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Don't miss it.
Would you like to have dinner with me?
Why is everyone being so nice to me today? David invites you to visit him on his site, cleverly named daviddelara.com. But that's not all. He's also on Facebook. He has a noteworthy blog, and you can follow him on Twitter, too. Look for all of these links in today's podcast posting on my site. Before we get started, we have a word from our sponsor, HotPlusSizeLingerie.com. That treasure trove of sexually stimulating lingerie, hosiery, bodysuits, costumes, shoes, and much, much more. Look for their lovely banner in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Did you know that HotPlusSizeLingerie.com is a leader in sexy plus-size lingerie and intimate apparel on the net? Well, they are, don't you know? They carry one of the largest selections of the latest and hottest styles from the leading lingerie designers in the industry. They always offer their customers their lowest price guarantee, and you get free shipping for all orders over $75.
So, you're not well educated, you have almost no experience, and you can't write.
Now that's the kind of abuse I'm used to. Our friends at Hot Plus Size Lingerie suggest that you sign up to receive advance notification on all of their insider promotions that will save you oodles of cash. So go ahead, browse, shop, enjoy, and always feel free to contact them with any questions or comments you might have. And when you visit them, be sure to tell them Dr. Dick sent you. Again, look for the Hot Plus Size Lingerie banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, David, and thank you for schlepping on over to DrDickSexAdvice.com. You have a Texas-sized talent, so I'm delighted that you agreed to be part of this Erotic Mind series. Now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the people in our audience? They're dying to meet you.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me on, Dr. Dick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, good, good, good. As you probably know, I discovered you when you tweeted that you were among those selected to exhibit your work at the upcoming Seattle Erotic Art Festival. That's very cool, and congratulations, by the way. This is a world-class festival. Have you participated before?
Yeah, this is actually my second time.
Wow, and, good for you.
And it was in, 2 years ago, 2010, when I first participated.
Oh, very cool.
And even though I didn't get into last year's show, I made a road trip up there.
Oh, did you really? Oh,
yeah.
And I missed last year. There was a scheduling problem, and I didn't get to go at all. But I was there the year before, so we're going to, we missed each other, sadly.
Yeah, well, it's going on two weekends this
yes,
year.
Yes, that's right, in June.
Even if people aren't, I think it's the 16th and then the weekend after that. So even if people don't make it one weekend, they can go another one.
That's true. So it's Solstice weekend and Gay Pride weekend here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So
I was reading that.
Festivals so going on.
Yeah, I know it's usually been in May before.
Yes, it's true. And I don't know why they moved it to June, although the director of the whole shebang, Clayton Hibbert, is going to be my guest again on this show soon. He has been a guest twice before, so I'm always looking forward to chatting with him. He always tells us a lot more about the festival and what's going on. So,
good. Great. Yeah, I'll be sure to tune in for that.
So listen, soon after I found your tweets, and then it was really easy for me to find your website, daviddelara.com, and I've been an ardent fan ever since. But you and I, as our audience probably can guess already, are strangers to one another, so maybe we can remedy that now. Before we get to talking about erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about something really interesting. Let's talk about you. Is David Delara your real name or nom de smut? And if it is, why?
Well, it is and it isn't.
I love it.
Well, Delara is part of a family name that was dropped several generations ago.
Is that right? How interesting.
Yeah, and then, well, my aunt, who did all the genealogy of the family for, I don't know, how many generations. So that's how I kind of discovered that name, and I kind of adapted it for use as a professional name. Well, first of all, it sounds good, and people can say it and spell it easier than a real legal name.
Very cool.
In fact, I just wrote a blog post about it, how it almost created an identity for myself, and people get an idea of who this David Delara character is. For example, I'm this erotic artist, now.
Many people have preceded you in on this show, erotic artists of all stripes. A lot of them write and create their art under a pseudonym, and they say that it's freeing. It's, you know, they are liberated from being the person, their day-to-day personality, and able to create with more panache, perhaps, under the pseudonym. Is that operative in your life as well?
Yeah, I think so. It creates a separation between, okay, this is my creative life, this is my personal life.
Right.
But in a lot of ways, I think David Delara is the person I really am.
Interesting. Yeah, I was chatting with somebody just recently about, you know, the difference between Dr. Dick and Richard Wagner, and I honestly can't find a difference.
I know.
Two names for the same person.
For me, sometimes it just comes down to how I sign my emails.
Exactly. Good. So can you give us a brief bio? Tell us lots of interesting things about yourself. Where were you born and raised? Where did you go to school? Did you study art, photography? Are you married, partnered, have a pet? Do you like muscle magazines and gladiator movies? Stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from South Texas, about 4 hours south of Austin. It's basically the middle of nowhere in the country. And lived there about 23 years. Well, born in 79, so that's going to make me 33 soon. And, well, I lived there, went to school there, got my art degree down there. Then, in 2003, got a job in Austin, so that's what got me to move here. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fantastic city to live in, and just all sorts of opportunity and great creative community.
Yes, I hear that about Austin. It's this wonderful mecca in the middle of wasteland.
Yeah, I think you always see whenever they're doing the elections, you see the map of Texas. It's all red except for the blue dot in the middle.
I love it. Partnered, pets?
No, single, never married, no kids. I live with a cat.
Oh,
but he's actually, sometimes it seems like more of a roommate.
I know, I have a dog just like that. How did you get your start in drawing, photography, and painting? You said you went to school, art school, I'm guessing. Is that, did you have that skills or interest before you began school?
Well, I was always drawing as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And people thought I was, you know, creative and talented. They would get me to draw things for them, and I was always drawing and copying things like comic books.
All right, right, right.
Yeah, so when it was time to go to college, I didn't know what else to do, so just chose to be an art major.
Hmm. So when did the erotic dimension begin to show up in your work?
Oh, that, well, I'm not really sure, because people would say I would do kind of erotic art things. Think maybe around 2004,
mm-hmm.
I would start doing some drawings of women who are wrapped up in ribbon and things like that.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
And then maybe a couple years later, I did some photo shoots where I got this white rope, and it wasn't meant to be anything like a fetish or a bondage. It was almost kind of glamorous.
Oh, but wow.
But it's things like that I never really intended to do as thinking of it as erotic. I just like the visuals of it.
Right. That's
but
an interesting thing. That's, excuse me for just 1 second,
yeah.
David. That is very interesting because a lot of people that I've interviewed for this series said much the same thing, that a lot of other people around them perceive their art as erotic, but they themselves don't. They find it visually stimulating, but not necessarily erotic. That's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, it's always how people interpret it.
Right.
And it's not something I intend to do. Although now that I became more aware, like, hey, you're doing this bondage thing. So now I do things like that on purpose.
Aha. And does it make, has your work matured because it's now purposeful as opposed to just accidental?
Well, it depends on, like you're saying, like the erotic things, like bondage or like any type of fetish type wear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is something I'll explore every now and then. I wouldn't say it's kind of matured or grown. Of course, it just kind of grows along as creative people and artists are always improving and getting better.
Yes.
Just through practice.
Right, 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 right. Yes.
So maybe the way I'm using it has matured and grown as I'm getting older.
Right, I understand. Good. So you identify yourself as a painter, an illustrator, and a photographer, and remarkably adept at all of three of these things, as far as I can see. And that's pretty amazing, because mastering any one of these skills is an achievement. Can you tell us how these three disciplines differ and how they are the same, at least in your practice?
Well, I wouldn't say I mastered them. I like to think I'll be really good right before I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm dead, I'll think I'll never reach my potential. But the painting and the drawing pretty much go hand in hand.
I see.
Since they're solitary experiences most of the time. It's almost a zen-like experience where I'm just focused on the connection between what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, and what I'm thinking just coming together.
Wow.
So that's more of a inward experience, whereas during a photo shoot, it's more of a more active, more outgoing experience because I'm working with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the type of model I'm working with, you know, how experienced and free-flowing they are, it's almost like a dance, because I always am pretty active moving around trying to get the best angle.
Right.
To present.
So I want to talk more about that later, but this is an interesting kind of thing as well, because many people who have preceded you, again, in this series, have said much the same thing. This is one of the universals that I just find so fascinating when I get to talk to people like yourself, is that, you know, it is this dance, this collaborative effort with a model, at least in terms of the photography, and how you express yourself has a lot to do with, you know, how you're getting on or how you're involved with the model. Is that
Yeah, that's true. I mean, lots of times it's there's no conversation at all. We're just doing our thing, like moving around. Don't need to say anything with words. We just have that synchronicity going on.
Right. Do you try to position a model and then shoot, or you just have your models behave as you would want them to, and then you try to catch what you're trying to catch?
Well, most of the time, unless I'm trying to catch something really specific, I let the models do what they want.
I see. Good, good.
I'll
good.
Offer suggestions if I don't see something that looks quite right. But I just want to, I think with photography, it's about capturing what you see, not trying to really manufacture a moment.
Oh, interesting. Because some people do, you know, some people's photography is all about manufacture. It's about, you know, that it's, you know, a highly scripted kind of event where the model is placed in a position and, you know, all the lights are set up and all this kind of stuff, and and then the shot is taken, and, you know, it's like a one-off sort of thing, not, you know, a series of photos. So that's very interesting. Good, good, good.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of, that kind of reminds me of some of the old, like maybe the sideshows and the circus.
Yes.
Where the carnivals, where people would have these big sets and displays, and people would pose with them.
Yes, right,
I think
right.
That's what how some people like to work.
Yeah, but that's not your style necessarily.
No, not necessarily. It's more about, especially when shooting in places like hotels, or we have something to play with. It's about exploring the environment,
right?
Seeing what you can do with it.
Right. So, did one of these artistic endeavors precede the others, and do you have a favorite?
Let's see. Well, like I said earlier, I was always drawing as a kid, and, you know, I kept at it through, you know, college, and then started to paint a little bit when I was studying, and but I didn't paint more regularly until about 2004. And then as far as photography goes, I think that also became more regular around 2004, when that was about the time I moved to Austin, so that, another thing, like I said, more opportunity to work with models.
Right.
But I had done a little bit of photography before that. In fact, my first camera was a 1-megapixel digital thing that had no zoom. And I think if you look through my DeviantArt page deep enough, you still might find those there.
Wow,
so that's
amazing.
Yeah, it's a huge chronicle history. You can say, look at that and say, hey, I'm kind of good now.
Well, I certainly can say that, certainly. Does the skill set of one of these artistic endeavors impact on the other?
Well, I think they all tie in together.
Uh-huh.
Because, well, first of all, you have to know what's appealing, what looks good, not just to you, but to other people. It's even all the elements need to come together, you know, line, color, form, shape, curves, shadows, and that's universal whether it's a painting, a drawing, or taking a photo. And sometimes I've told a few people that even though I've got a nude woman in front of me and I'm looking through the camera, I'm not really paying attention to the nude woman in front of me. I'm looking at how the light is hitting her, the lines and the curves that are all being created, just trying to create the capture the best image I can.
Right. So you're not distracted by, you know, the lusciousness.
Well, I'm focused on work, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You could say.
Right. You know, that's another thing that's universal in this series is that artists can distract themselves or pull themselves out of the erotic environment in order to catch, you know, what they're trying to catch, in either photographically or painting or illustration, and so they seem to be kind of immune to the, you know, the sexual energy. Is that true for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, first of all, the models I work with were all, you know, we're there for business.
Yes.
There's no any real kind of sexual energy going on.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think I like to tell myself the 15-year-old me would hate the 30-year-old me because of everything I get to do.
I love it, I love it, I love it. So yeah. Your artwork generally depicts women.
Yeah,
correct?
It's always been women.
Uh-huh.
Going back, well, my current body of work is about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Started around late 2000, 2001 mm-hmm. is when I started doing nothing but artwork of women.
Mm-hmm. And how did you choose women as opposed to women and men or men?
Well, I just like to do what I find appealing.
I see. Good, good, good.
Yeah, even when I was a teenager, I would always copy pictures from, you know, Playboy or the swimsuit issue just to learn the female form.
No kidding. How interesting.
Yeah, and that's what helped me learn how to draw, but also, I guess, develop this sort of style and develop a fondness for my subject matter, I suppose.
Right. And do you have words that describe your style? I mean, if somebody pressed you for, well, what is it that you do? Do you have a vocabulary to talk about your work?
See, well, it's a little dark, surreal, sometimes a little sensual, provocative. And those are just a few of the words people
uh-huh.
have said and a few ideas that I have. Because usually the artwork is a little more surreal, not quite realistic. It's almost like deconstructing humanity in a way.
Mm-hmm. That's very fascinating. So, I understand that your painting and drawings are not necessarily based on anyone in particular. In fact, you say about your work, they are like dolls used to represent the human condition. They often portray his thoughts, experiences, and philosophies. Could you expand on that a bit? What does that mean?
Well, the doll thing is something I got from somebody who saw my work and said, "Oh, you do dolls." And I thought that was really fitting because a majority of the work that I create is not based on anybody in particular,
mm-hmm.
and they're not the girl, and it's not supposed to be anybody.
Yes.
I don't want her to be anybody. It's just sort of a representation of, like I said, thoughts, experiences, and philosophies. You know, lots of times something will be on my mind, and that energy gets transferred to what I'm creating.
Do you know that it's happening when it's happening? I mean, like if you are in a particular mood or if you're having a conflict inside of yourself, does your art reflect that? Or in the same way, you know, if you're having a really good time and you're feeling very confident, is that reflected in your work?
Well, it used to be when I was younger, in my early to mid-20s, I think I was kind of... joke around with some of my lady friends that I was an antsy college teenage girl. So I was like, it was more like really deeply personal and things like that. But now, like, I'm getting older, I keep a notebook, and it's more about like, I'll come up with a concept, either as a visual or a name that could be a title for a piece, or just things like that that I want to get to, that just were passing thoughts randomly throughout the day or in the middle of the night that I don't want to forget to,
yeah.
I don't want to forget about and get to later.
Do you, you seem to have this extraordinary reverence for the female figure. For women, I guess. It's not just the figure. You seem to have reverence for women. Is that true?
I think so. And a majority of the people I know are women.
Yes. That's a good sign, it would seem to me. Because, I mean, if you are photographing women and you are drawing and painting women and none of your friends are women, or those people who are close to you are not women, maybe you're not doing it right.
Yeah, that's could be true. And also a lot of the feedback that I get are people who say they really love my work are women.
Yeah, that's also a good,
so
really
maybe
good
there's
sign.
Some kind of there's something that I'm reaching out to there,
right,
that I don't intend to be feminine, but there's just something that
well, you certainly are sensual. I mean, your work is very, very sensual, and not hardcore in any way, shape, or form. I mean, some of it is also very edgy and provocative, as you know, words you've used yourself just moments ago. And there's also mystery. So again, it's safe to assume that this is your intention. You want to create your art in this fashion.
Yeah, I think most of that is true. Some of it isn't intentional. I don't go out to create something that's like, oh, I want her to look sexy. It just ends up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a mystery about it. I think it's kind of, like I said, the artwork is sort of like a reflection of who I am, and people said I'm a little quiet and mysterious until they get to know me.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
Yeah, so that ends up being transferred in everything I do, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. I mean, how could you not? I mean, if your art is coming from inside of you, how could it not reflect who you are? I mean, would it not ring false if you were trying to do something that wasn't authentically you?
Yeah, everybody has a voice, you could say, something that's unique about them that they can convey to the world, whether they're a visual artist or a actor, a musician.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not trying to be yourself, you're just, trying to market and sell yourself to the masses in a generic way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then it no longer is art, it's something else. It might be good something else, but it may not necessarily be art, if you ask
me. Yeah, you're the pre-made artwork that you find at the places at, like, IKEA or Hobby Lobby.
Exactly that. Yeah, mass-produced.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of your photography depicts bondage and other fetishy and kinky pursuits. Are you a casual bystander capturing what you see around you, or are you a practitioner yourself?
No, I'm not involved with any of that at all.
Is that right? How interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to spoil everybody's ideas about me.
Well, how is it that you clearly gravitate toward that, do you not?
Yeah, well, like you said earlier, I just find it very appealing, the visuals of it.
Yeah.
And I would do stuff like that unintentionally, you know, wrapping around or what's it called, bondage,
mm-hmm.
where they're wrapped up and can't escape, or just being like tied and bound, or some sort of other sorts of fetish wear.
Yes, yeah. Well, it makes for very interesting visuals, if you ask.
Yeah, and that's that drew me to it. But maybe as I get older, I forget how long ago, I'm just more aware after somebody had said, "It's like, yeah, you do bondage and fetish work." In fact, it was actually when somebody had bought a painting of mine. They had met with another photographer in town who was familiar with my work. It's like, oh, you're gonna go meet the guy who does bondage. And then she said, no, he doesn't do bondage. So there's that little bit of it I do and I don't, but it's, like I said earlier, I'm never really going too far.
Right.
But it's just things that are a little darker and subversive in nature that I find appealing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's the inner goth in me.
Yeah. But at the same time, like I just said not too long ago, there, even though Your stuff is very edgy. It's also very honorable. It is a reverence of your female models. It's not like ripping them off in any way, shape, or form. And I've seen a lot of that stuff. I see it a lot on the net. You can see that it's almost like some of the artists or photographers have a real chip on their shoulder toward women, and their depictions of them are very hard-edged and painful sometimes, to look at. I don't see that in your stuff at all, and yet you are, depicting a lot of kinky stuff.
Yeah, well, I like to think they're not objects, they're people.
Yes, good for you.
And we're having a good time, and if they're up for something, then let's go for it.
Right. So how do you arrange this? You clearly must work with people who are the kinksters, the people who are into BDSM and other forms of bondage and submission, and that's how you find a lot of your models, or do you find your models and then ask them if they're into this kind of thing, or how does that work exactly?
Well, I actually don't do the kinky stuff that much.
I
think, maybe less than a dozen times I could think of occasions where I've done it. But most of the models I find are usually through networking sites, or they contact me somehow, see my work somewhere. It's like, hey, I'll be in your area. Or if they live in town, it's like, wow, I found your stuff. Let's do something.
Oh, great. So your reputation precedes you, and obviously if women are interested in working with you, they, like you said before, they must really like your work. I mean, they wouldn't contact you if they thought they were going to be ripped off by you.
Yeah, that's true. I think even for me, if I think about it coming from their situation, like, I wouldn't want to try and work with somebody that I don't really respect,
right,
or whose work I don't actually like, because we both know the final results of the photographs would suffer.
Yes, I totally agree. So I'm just looking at my clock and I see that our time is up for today. I would like to have you come back next week and chat more with us. Is that possible?
Sure, twist my arm.
Oh, alrighty then. So, but before we go, would you give us your website address, walk us around, tell us what we can find there, and where can we buy your work?
See, well, you can see and buy my work through my website, daviddelara.com. It's DAVIDDELARA. Sometimes people spelled Lara wrong, but...
we'll be sure to have a link on today's podcast posting, so good.
Yeah, and there I got a portfolio of my paintings and drawings, photo manipulations, the straight-up photography, blog where I post my latest work and random commentary, and shop there where you can even order custom prints.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah,
so we will be visiting you in cyberspace in the interim week, and we look forward to chatting with you again next week. Thanks,
right,
David.
Sounds good. We'll see you then.
Bye now. What a delightful show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with David Dallara and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Just what do you want from me anyway? Permission to be a fake? Stop whining. Do something about it.
I didn't realize I was whining all that much. Anyhow, again, this week's podcast sponsor is Hot Plus Size Lingerie. Our sponsors have been selling plus size lingerie on the net for over 5 years. Their site is solely dedicated to the enticing curves of the full figured woman. Besides plus size intimate apparel, they carry a huge selection of sexy costumes, hosiery, bodysuits, and jaw-dropping shoes. You won't find a bigger or better selection than at hotpluszsizelingerie.com. And you can always count on discreet shipping and billing for every order. Look for their flirty banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com, and visit them today. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.